because of what happened at the end. Oh, man. You can see on the screen, I did it quick so I have no quotes and it's not exactly looked the best, but it's the title of my message. Need Something More. We'll talk about this. How people need something more. What is that more? Some don't understand. We know what it is as Christians, what we need. There was more. But for the world, they're not sure, but they know they need something more. So we'll talk about a story in Luke chapter 19. If you can be finding Luke 19, you've heard it before through the years. So it's a Sunday school story, but it has a powerful message to it. And I think it's an appropriate time here to teach this because that's what the birth's all about, is giving humanity more than what they had to start with. This is the story of Zacchaeus, or Zacchaeus, as some of you may say it. And we're going to talk about the impact that Jesus made in his life and how he was... He knew he needed something more. Zacchaeus knew he needed something more. So let's start with verse 1, Luke 19. We'll read 1 through 10 tonight. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. Now Zacchaeus was a tax collector. Everybody say boo. Yeah, nobody likes Zacchaeus. Except himself. And he was rich. And not only was he a tax collector, he was the chief tax collector, which means he was people under him doing his bidding. So he was a big dog. So he had a very intimidating position. He had a lot of power in his position. And he was rich, so he had money. Money wasn't a problem. Position wasn't a problem. You think he'd have life made. I'm doing well. You know, I've got money. You know, people are scared of me, and I can intimidate them, and, you know, they'll bow down to me to try to get out of something. They'll suck up to me. I got a pretty good position. But let's see what happens to Zacchaeus. See if he was very happy. Love what verse 3 said. And he sought to see Jesus. He sought to see him. That's an intentional act of trying to get to him. When you seek something, it means you're intentionally going after it. You're trying to find it. You've purpose in your mind. I'm going to go and see if I can get what I want or what I need. So why would Zacchaeus have any desire to seek Jesus? Now think about this. We're reading a little bit, and I ain't gonna blow it for you because you already know most of y'all here are you're the Wednesday night crowd. You know the story. He was a crook. He cheated people for a living. We see that here. We'll read that here in a minute. So why would this thief and this cheat, who had all kinds of money and all kinds of power and all kinds of position, why would he have any desire to seek Jesus, who was good, who was righteous, who was not rich, material-wise, I mean, who was not had any kind of position, because the Bible talks about how he come in just a lowly position, nothing to behold that was beauty about him, just born to a very average, mediocre family. So what would make this rich chief tax collector who had money and power, why would he want to seek Jesus? Really think about that. Maybe because he was missing something? Maybe because there was something not quite satisfied? Money couldn't buy it. Power couldn't buy it. Nothing could satisfy what he was missing. So he sought to see Jesus, who he was. Who is this Jesus? See, understand, he heard about him. He heard about the miracles. He heard about this coming Messiah. He'd heard things he had done and all the hype about this Jesus. I got to see who this man is. What's the deal with this guy from Nazarene who everybody's talking about? Let me see what he... But see, what was happening here is God was moving on him. He didn't know it then. Positioning him because he was one of the called ones. He was called. Zacchaeus was called to be a part of God's kingdom. So God is dealing with him right here. This is why we seek Jesus, because God deals with us to seek something deeper. This is why I say all the time, you know, that the Bible says about, I quote it, how that no man can come to the Father unless the Spirit draw him. So when the Spirit's drawing us, what's happening is God is putting a desire in our hearts to seek him. We don't have that desire apart from God. We don't want to seek God unless God gives us that desire. I mean, how many of you hate Brussels sprouts? Anybody here hate Brussels sprouts? You hate them. Me too. Hate Brussels sprouts. So why in the world would Trey go to McDonald's and say, I like to order a Brussels sprouts? You know, if Trey is going to eat Brussels sprouts, he's got to have some kind of desire. He's got to want to eat them. So what's going to make him want to eat Brussels sprouts? A power higher than his. I'll tell you that. Because I cry. Oh, my gosh. Mom put them little two, three, little four balls of Brussels sprouts on my plate. Now, come on, at least you got to eat one or two. You need to eat one or two of them. I'd have to about choke them things down. Oh, about gag. I had no desire for Brussels sprouts. None. Had desire for other foods she made, but not Brussels sprouts. Though at one time, Mom said, "Hey, honey, I'm cooking dinner. What do you want?" "I want Brussels sprouts." Not once did I ever say that in my mouth, ever. Because there's no desire there. See, when God speaks to us, he gives us that desire to begin to seek him. This is why people are on a real lost path, real rebellious, and a lot of darkness. You can't reach them. You try, but you can't. And they really can't be reached. I mean, I'm just saying, they can't be reached until they hear God beginning to draw them. And then beginning to hear God speak to them. And then all of a sudden, they got a desire. I need to seek who. You know, it's kind of like my children. I have three. Your children can't, their faith in God can't be based on their parents' faith in God. It's based on their individual faith in God. And each child's like you, that you grew up. You may grew up in a very religious, strict home, but you had to find Jesus for yourself. Just because dad says, "You believe in God, son. You believe in God, daughter. He's the way, the truth, the life. You better serve him." Yes, sir. And we hear that. But until we have a desire in here to embrace that for our lives, not because our parents said it, because we want it, it's not real to us. But once we desire it, it's real. Zacchaeus was seeking to see who Jesus was, but he could not because of the crowd. The press means the crowd. Because he was little a stature. Little bitty man. Bible don't say how tall he was. I don't know. Probably 5'7", 5'8". I don't know. I have no idea how tall he was. But he says he was a little man and couldn't see because of all the people around Jesus. So what did he do? Now this shows how much he was seeking who he was. He ran before. He got ahead of the crowd. Now I want you to think about this. This is really kind of a politician today, you would say. Imagine you're watching C-SPAN, and you're watching one of the Capitol meetings or something in the Capitol House or, you know, whatever, Capitol building, and you see one of the senators or congressmen run up in front of all their peers and hop up in a tree. Oh, I wouldn't either. I wouldn't be surprised either. But what if you saw that? You'd be like, oh my gosh, this dude is putting his pride. He has no pride. Here's this chief tax collector. Remember now, he is a man of importance, man. When he walked, people shook. I can see Zacchaeus walking by the general store, the marketplace. He's walking by and he sees, we'll just say Mary. That's a pretty common name, right? He sees Mary. And here's Mary. "I done paid you. I done paid you. I was getting my apples. I done paid you, Zacchaeus." "I know, Mary. I know. I mean, he probably stroke fear into people. He probably pranced when he walked, you know? "I'm the chief tax collector. I'm rich. Look at my garments. I got a 3-hump camel, buddy. 3-hump. I mean, I'm rolling in the dough." So he's walking, proud, tall. He's rich. He's got a position. What does he do? He gets ahead of the crowd, and he climbs into a tree. This shows to me his desire, the depth of his desire to see Jesus, to see who he was. But it's even deeper than that. It wasn't just mere curiosity. I believe God was dealing with Zacchaeus, drawing him to that place of seeking, drawing him to where he put all of his pride behind him. It was more than just being nosy. Because he'd have been too, if he'd just been nosy, he'd been too proud to have done it that way. Something drove him to a point he didn't care how it looked or who saw him. "I want to see who this Jesus guy is." So he's in a tree. He climbed a sycamore tree, for he was to pass that way. He strategically positioned himself in the way of Jesus. And when Jesus came to the place where Zacchaeus was, he looked up and saw him. Now let's think about this. What do you think? Do you think Jesus' face was like this?
Sitting there, stop Where's my mic? Sorry, I'm all messed up. Thank you.
I know, I need to just get something different. So here he is. I don't think Jesus is walking by and happened to look up and did one of these. Really? Can I help you? Don't you think Jesus knew he was there? He knew he was there. Already had either, whether he saw him or whether God just spoke, and he just knew. He's walking by. He purposely stops. Looked up and saw him, and he spoke to him. And he didn't say, can I help you, or what you doing in that tree, or do you take your medication today? Here's what he said. Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at your house. That was a deeper saying than just saying, I'm coming over for dinner. I'm going to abide at your house. I'm coming to live in you. That's what he really was saying. Come down. I'm calling your name. Zacchaeus needed something more than what he had. His money wasn't making him happy enough. His position didn't satisfy him. There was something he desired that was bigger than what he could put his hands on. And he may not knew what it was, but he thought, well, maybe Jesus is that thing I'm missing. Maybe it's that missing thing. So what happened to Zacchaeus? Let's see if he listened. He made haste and came down and received him joyfully. He received him. He didn't try to tax him. He didn't give a slip. He received him joyfully. Not just saying, thank you, master. Come on over for dinner. My wife Martha will cook you something good. When it says he received him, this is deeper than just an outward. He's talking about he received him. He was saying, God, I'm yours. Whatever you have for me, I'm willing to follow. Whatever you have, I'm surrendering to you, God. I receive you, whoever you are. I don't really know who you are. Heard about you. But man, if you got what I need, I want it. Because I need something. Or I wouldn't be stuck in a sycamore tree in my good clothes, look like an idiot in front of all these townspeople. I must need something. You know, we see over other parts of the country where people in other nations will walk miles and miles and stand for hours and hours and get up on, you know, wherever they can find a place to hear the gospel preached. Pouring rain, doesn't matter the weather, just wanting to hear the gospel. You ever see those Billy Graham crusades, the old classics they'll show on TV, and the stadiums are full of people, and they scan the crowd, and everybody's like just still, aren't they? They ain't like this church. Everybody's restless and getting up and down and moving and stuff. I mean, they're still. They're just watching him preach. And you could just see in people's eyes as they scan the Colosseums. You can see in their eyes, they're hungry. They're hungry to hear what he's got to say. Because what he's saying makes a lot of sense. And what he's preaching does something in here that money can't give you. There's a feeling that happens inside when you hear about Jesus and the message of the gospel. There's something inside of us that leaps like a baby in a mother's womb. Something just leaps inside of us because truth becomes alive. And that truth resurrects us. That's what I needed to hear. Yes. Yes, God, that's what I needed. People don't know what they need. That's why people are turning to alcohol or drugs or relationships or just going out in the world trying to find their thing. When their thing is a relationship with him, period. And once they can attach themselves to that, they're satisfied. Doesn't mean everything's perfect, but they're satisfied. And they realize this is what was missing in my life. There's no other high in the world can give you what a relationship with God can give you. To know he is with you forever through every storm and every battle and every dark season, he is there for you. Whether you're on a surgery table, whether you're in the midst of a divorce, whether you're in a financial collapse, whether you got a rebellious child or you just lost someone you really love, in every storm you are in, God is faithful. His presence doesn't leave us. It doesn't evaporate. It doesn't go here for a while and come back. You know our God, the Bible says this, our God is omnipresent. Do you know what that really means, omnipresent? Everywhere, always. And that's beyond our understanding. So you mean God Almighty, Pastor, the God of the universe, there's starving kids in Africa, there's There's accidents right now all over the world happening, car wrecks, death, sickness, disease, murder, crime, all over the world. There's mamas, you know, women being raped, and there's babies crying with no food, and there's abortions happening while we talk right now, kids being slaughtered in the womb right now while I'm preaching. You mean that same God that is seeing that is here with us at Living Word on a Wednesday night with this Wednesday night crowd? Yes, He is. He is everywhere, all the time. He's an omnipresent God and omnipotent God, which means all-powerful. Now, that's pretty amazing. Now, let me tell you this, in case you didn't know this, because you may be deceived in believing this. The devil is not omnipresent. Not the devil. Demons and spirits are everywhere, but Satan himself, the fallen angel, he does not have that omnipresent power. He cannot be everywhere all the time. Only God is omnipresent. I think it's important to realize that because, yeah, I know we're attacked by the devil and there's demons, but talking about he has his demons, but I'm talking about Satan himself is not omnipresent. Only God is. And to know that God is omnipresent everywhere, all the time, wow. We can really take that verse now that says, I'll never leave you or forsake you and believe it, can't we? Because, I mean, really think about that. When he says, when Jesus himself said this, that I will never leave you, I will never forsake you, I will be with you until the end of the world. That tells me there, okay, yeah, God, you're omnipresent. You won't leave me. You are there. You know, when grandma's having lonely nights in the home, God's there. At the same time I'm having a bad night at home, God's with me too. Same night Sharon's having a bad night, He's with her. Barbara's having a bad night because Don came home, then He's with her. So, He's everywhere. Kevin's under the knife having surgery or having stent, whatever. He was there. But it didn't mean God left me to go sit with Him. His presence was there, here, there, 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 everywhere. Man, what a powerful God that is. That's beyond our comprehension because we measure time and space on physical location, not on spiritual dimension. There's a huge difference. And one day, we'll bypass all that, and we'll walk through walls and walk through, you know, there'll be no, those barriers will be gone. It'll be different. We'll just be in a different world completely. Man, what a day that's going to be. And when they saw it, now here comes the religious folks, the old Pharisees, the old Baptists, the old Pharisees, when they saw it, they all murmured, saying he was going to be guest with a man that is a sinner. How dare Jesus do that? Didn't he say that he came to save the lost? And here they are saying, why is he gone with a sinner? Really? They were murmuring. They were judging. Not knowing what had already happened at that sycamore tree. Not knowing there had already been a change at that moment. That Jesus came his way, saw him, told him to come down. Zacchaeus came down and received him joyfully. There had already been a transition happen at the sycamore tree. That could be a gospel song. By the sycamore tree, Zacchaeus found me. He climbed way high up toward the sky. But then he came down, I touched his life. And now we're going to eat dinner with his wife. And that could be a song. That could be a song. I mean, he was changed that night. At that moment, he was changed. And here they are murmuring. How do they know he was in a sinner at that moment? He might already have been a sinner at that moment. He received him joyfully. God had called his name. Now they're walking off together, and I can see him pointing. Look at that. That's that tax collector. That's that crook. And Jesus, the anointed one, the Messiah, really, is going to eat with a sinner? Man. Verse 8. Zacchaeus stood and said, Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. Now, notice what's happening here. You want to know someone's really been changed? This is a great proof. Here's Zacchaeus, who was a crook, who had stolen his whole life from people, pocketed all the extra money. Now he says, God, I'm going to give half of what I have to the poor. Think about that. I doubt any of us, including me, would do that, right? I'll give half what I got to the poor. But not only that, if I have taken anything from any man, and don't mean if I have, it means the ones I have, by false accusation, I will restore him fourfold. So here's the deal. Zacchaeus goes to Kevin's house, collects tax bills. Says, Kevin, you got 10 turkeys, you got 42 sheep, you got 16 cows, 3 horses, 1 donkey, and a partridge in a pear tree. Your tax bill is $1,000, when it really was only $250. So what happens? He jacked it up 4 times on him or whatever. So he goes back to Kevin, knocks it down. I believe this happened. I believe Zacchaeus went back and made this right. He went back. Brother Kevin, I'm sorry I overcharged you on your tax bill. Here's you the money back that I took that I shouldn't have taken. Here's a check back for $600 or whatever. You talking about a changed heart? That's what happened. Jesus changed him. It wasn't just lip service. It wasn't a hallelujah moment. It wasn't a feel good today and I'm back living in hell tomorrow. It wasn't, a holy dance on Sunday and then a hell dance on Monday. He changed. Gave half what he had to the poor and then repaid the ones he had ripped off. He gave them back 4 times. That's pretty incredible change. Next verse. And Jesus said unto him, Zacchaeus, this day is salvation come to this house. This day, salvation has found you, Zacchaeus. Here was a hardened, pious, probably very proud and arrogant man who had a lot of money and a great position and who had made his living by cheating others. This same man, now Jesus says, is saved. You're saved. Salvation's come to your house for as much as you also, are a son of Abraham. Now that was a big deal in Jewish law. Understand that Jewish dialogue. That was a big deal to say you were a son of Abraham. Because Abraham was the father of many nations. He was considered very holy in the Old Text. And so to say you're one of Abraham's seed, that was a very high calling. He says you're one of Abraham's now. For the Son of Man, this is the last verse here. For the Son of Man is come. Here's why Jesus came. To seek and to save that which was lost. Church, I was lost and you were lost before Jesus found you. And notice what it says. Jesus, I just said this a while ago, I made this point, that we don't seek him apart from his presence. We don't have a desire to. I mean, understand, you go to any bar on a Saturday night and walk up there and start asking people at the bar, hey, do you want to know about Jesus? See what they tell you. Nah, man, get that Jesus stuff out of here. That's why I'm in here. If I want Jesus, I'd be in church, not in a bar. I don't want no Jesus stuff. Or go into a bar on a Saturday night and get on the karaoke PA and start singing something like Amazing Grace or How Great Thou Art, see what happens. You'll hear glasses drop over the place. Or throwing bottles at you. Get them off the stage. I don't want to hear that Jesus crap in here. You know why? Because they've chosen to be in a place that's not what they want to hear. Jesus, it says here, Jesus came to seek. What does that mean? That he's the one that gives us that desire to want him. He came. Church, I was in a tent revival when I got saved. And, I didn't go that night to get saved. Didn't know what was going to happen that night. I'm there for service. But God passed my way. And God touched me. I didn't go into that night saying, Lord, please save me. Please save me. God, I want to get saved. 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 You know, it's not anything I really concentrated on. I just went to church. But he passed my way. Now, as you get older, it gets a little tougher because we harden our hearts when we get older and there's a lot more things and junk in the way. But we see testimony after testimony of people's lives and hearts that are softened because Jesus sought them. And he passed their way and didn't give up and says, Mr. Alcoholic, do you really want to live this way? Mr. This or Miss This, is really what you want to do with your life? You start hearing that voice. And you're like, no, God, I don't know if you're real, but I don't like the way I'm living. And then God starts getting in there, chiseling away little by little. Speaking to you. Speaking to your heart. Seeking you. Joe, you were, how old, 26 you got saved, you said? 25, 26. See, Joe Brown was supposed to be part of God's kingdom. And at 25, 26, he became part of God's kingdom. Because God went seeking after Joe Brown. We don't seek after things that are good in the natural. Because we're not wired that way. We can only seek good things because the good one lives inside of us. That's why we seek good things. That's why for a Christian, we want to live right. Because our nature's been changed. That's why before you're a Christian, You don't live right. There's no conscience. There's no moral compass. The biggest thing you'd want to do is not get caught. The rest of it don't really matter. You don't get caught. No moral part to it. No, what does God think about it? Just, I don't want to get caught. But man, when God changes you, it goes from not getting caught to, I don't want to do it, God, because I love you. Nothing to do with getting caught. He came to save and seek those that were lost. What does that mean, those that were lost? Those that had no way out. Those that were misdirected, misled. Those that were listening to the lies of the devil. Those that had no truth. Those that were living lies for themselves. I came to save. Thank God he seeks us. Thank God he comes after us and calls our name and knocks on our heart. That's why when you have services, you have altar calls, and if you experienced this when you got saved, you know, you'd be back there and you begin to cry, or you'd feel something tingling on you, or you'd feel your heart start racing, your hands start sweating. Just something, you just felt a change inside of you. That was God seeking you, pulling you. You're mine. Man, that's a feeling you can't fabricate. And y'all know what I'm talking about. That's a feeling you cannot duplicate in any other form when the Holy Spirit's touching you. There's nothing like it. There's a lot of rushes in life, a lot of good times, a lot of good feelings, but there's nothing like that feeling. Zacchaeus needed more than his money and his position. He needed to be filled, and God filled him. Can you imagine the face of those town people when he went, started going door knocking? Here, I ripped you off. Here's your money back. Zacchaeus, you feeling all right? No fever. What's wrong with you, boy? I found Jesus. He touched me. He changed me. Man. That's right. I'm sure he did. You're right. Guarantee you become a witness for the God. Again, tell me what God did for him. Because they knew. I mean, man. Zacchaeus, if you change, man, there's something got to be out there real. Because you were bad, boy. Time of year we celebrate our Savior coming to the earth. And he came to save those that were lost. That's why he came. That's why he's born. To pay the price for our sin, that we could be free. Hallelujah. All right. Hope you got some out of the message tonight. Because I enjoyed teaching it tonight. I think it's a great story of true change. To me, it gives me hope of this generation and people that we love that are in a bad place. To know, you know what? Just takes God touching them. Give them that desire. I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes folks got to go through a lot of darkness before they seek for light. Or they even try to hear any truth. But God's not done yet. All right, do not forget, we will not have service the next two Wednesday nights. Next Wednesday is Christmas, and the following Wednesday is right after our New Year's Eve service. So we're going to cancel the next two Wednesday nights. But we will be here Sunday morning and Sunday night. We are having Sunday night service, so be here for that. And if y'all are real good the rest of the week, we may have a treat for you on Sunday. I'll be having to watch Facebook real close this week. Make sure y'all good. So, we're excited. Excited. Everybody good tonight? Oh, I'm sorry. That loud. I'm sorry. Forgot I was in a microphone.